Hello and welcome to another Linguistics Career Cast, the podcast devoted to exploring careers for linguists outside academia. I'm your host, Laurel Sutton. This episode is an audio version of a virtual panel held at the Linguistics Career Launch in the summer of 2024. It's titled Content Creation, A Path to Alternative Careers. The presenter is Erin Kuester, who has a master's degree in applied linguistics from Ohio University and is a copywriter and content creator for women and queer-owned businesses. This workshop presents content creation and social media usage as skills and shows how these skills can be leveraged as an alternative career or to boost an alternative career. This is especially useful for anyone who is interested in starting their own business, freelancing, or becoming a content creator in general. In it, you'll learn about finding and understanding an audience, types of content, carving out a niche, platform-specific strategies, using content to market a business, monetization, and alternative careers in general. Topics discussed include alternative careers, content creation, branding, freelance, and social media. Links to Erin's LinkedIn, website, and her TikTok account, and the TikToks discussed in this presentation are in the show notes. This episode of the podcast is generously sponsored by Amazon Science.
So welcome, everyone, to my workshop on finding alternative careers through content creation. I am really excited to talk to you about content creation because it's something that I really enjoy and I'm super passionate about. So I hope you find this session interesting and informative. A little bit about me. I am a linguist like everyone else here. I've got a master's degree in applied linguistics. I graduated with that in 2014. So it's been quite a while since I studied linguistics. And I am an alum of Ohio University. I'm a former university ESL instructor. I did that for about 10 years before I pivoted into instructional design. So I'm currently an instructional designer. I've worked in both higher education instructional design and corporate instructional design. I currently work for a software company as an instructional designer. And I live in Iowa with my husband, Kat, and two miniature dachshunds. And I'm going to pre-apologize if you hear any dog barking in the background, because they can get very loud and annoying at times. So apologies if you hear any dog barking. A little bit about how I use content creation. So I never just decided, oh, I'm going to become a content creator. That's like something I want to do. I sort of just started posting organically on LinkedIn. I made my transition from higher education to instructional design in 2020. And I just started posting about my career transition, interviewing, applying for jobs. And I found that that content really resonated with people, especially other teachers who were looking to make a career transition. So that's kind of how I developed my niche on LinkedIn. I then moved over to TikTok, where I've been creating content for teachers leaving the classroom. So I create content about resumes, interviewing, finding jobs, anything that might be relevant to teachers who are looking to make that transition. And part of the reason I'm talking about how to use content creation as like a boost to your career or as an alternative career path is because I use my content creation basically to drive viewers to my career coaching business. So it is a form of lead generation that I use for my resume workshops, my resume writing services, career coaching, all of that. So that's something we're going to be talking about a little bit today. And then actually my first paid content creation gig was through Linguistics Career Launch through networking. I participated in the first Linguistics Career Launch in 2021, I think it was. And I connected with someone from Mango Languages and saw through my LinkedIn network that they were hiring for an ESL grammar content writer. And so I applied for that through my network and I did that for about 2 years. And you will be able to see my grammar writing later this fall when they finally release those articles. And as I'm talking, if you guys have questions or comments or anything, you can drop them in the chat. I apologize if I talk really quickly. So what are we going to be doing today? We're going to be focusing on a lot of different things related to content creation. First, talking about what is content creation, why do we care about it, different types of content. So we're going to look at an overview of popular content types. We'll talk about creating a content strategy. So figuring out what works for you if you are someone who is interested in doing content creation. I will talk a little bit about some platform-specific strategies, mostly LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok, because those are the ones that I know the best. And then actually, we are swapping number 5 and 6 down here. We're going to do a content planning activity together. I'm going to have to rethink the breakout rooms because I did not expect for there to be like 40 people. And then if we have time in the last couple of minutes, we will talk about monetizing content. And if we don't have time to cover that, I will send you the information about monetizing content. So you will still get to see it. So the basics, what is content creation? And I am going to put this on you guys. So if I say content creation, what does that mean to you? Do you have any particular idea about it? If someone says, oh, I'm a content creator, I create content, like what does that mean to you? So if you want to add your answer in the chat, just a couple words, like what do you think content creation is? Sometimes it means YouTuber. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Making posts and stories about whatever your niche is, posting on an online platform, making informational and fun content ideas. Yeah, these all sound great. Very well-defined definitions of content creation, creating learning content at different levels, telling your story. I mean, all of these are correct. So basically, my definition of content creation is producing and sharing materials in an online way for different audiences. And I agree that when people think of content creation, they usually think of like YouTube or TikTok or things like that. But what I do as an instructional designer in my full-time job is also content creation. So if you work in instructional design, curriculum development, like there's a lot of different things that make up content creation. But usually when we think of it, it's writing, blogs, articles, websites, Substack, Medium, things like that. Video content, like we said, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitch is another one. Social media posts, podcasts is a big form of content creation, user-generated content, and more. There are a lot of different ways that you can create content. So, what are the benefits to job seekers? If you are making that transition out of academia and into private industry, why do you need to know about content creation? What is the point? I see a lot of different benefits to kind of knowing about content creation and understanding content creation. Alternative career paths and flexibility. If you're someone who is thinking about sort of starting your own business or freelancing on the side, content creation can really help you with that, especially when it comes to marketing, or if you want to work as a content specialist, or even if you just want to leverage skills you've learned in content creation for different kinds of jobs you're applying to. If you are not interested in professionally creating content, you can still use it to enhance your personal branding, especially on LinkedIn. If you're looking for a job, you can use it to create a personal or professional brand. You can use it to sort of show your authority within your niche or demonstrate expertise and attract opportunities. So, like I said earlier, one of my first paid content creation gigs was through networking on LinkedIn. So that's one benefit to sort of creating a personal brand through content. And then you also have opportunities for entrepreneurship. So you can monetize your content, which we'll talk about a little later. There is also the possibilities of like sponsored content. You can sell different products or services through your content. You can offer consulting, or it can serve as an additional or primary source of income. So we're going to talk about different types of content. Sorry, I'm also going to be drinking a lot of water throughout because I've had a very meeting-heavy day today. So I want to know from you guys, what is your favorite kind of content? And I don't mean like books, movies, TV shows. If you are on social media and you are consuming content, what's your favorite kind of content to look at or to consume? And what platform do you usually use? Give everyone a couple seconds in the chat. see a lot of YouTube, which is really interesting to me. Some TikTok, some Instagram reels, travel content. Travel content is super popular. Educational content, long form and short form. This is so interesting to me because I never ever watch long form YouTube videos. I don't really have the attention span for it. Skincare on YouTube, skincare and beauty is like a huge area of content creation. Food. All right, I love it. Sounds like most people are on YouTube. So when we talk about different types of content, no matter what kind of content you consume, there's really only three types of content that exist. And content is meant to entertain, educate, or evoke a specific feeling in us. So if you decide you want to start creating content, your content has to do one of these three things. If it doesn't do one of these three things, then it's not going to be successful and people will not be interested in it. So we're going to look at a couple of different types of these content. All right, so let's look at our first type of content, and this is content that's meant to entertain. When we think of content, this is usually like the primary form of content that we think about. We watch something because it's interesting, it's entertaining, it makes us laugh. So content is, or edu entertainment content is meant to hold attention, and it has the most potential to be shared with other people and to go viral. So if you see viral content, it is usually entertaining in some way. And this type of content is memes, funny videos, entertaining stories, different challenges. If you're on TikTok, you've probably seen a lot of entertaining content. And I'm going to share an example of my own type of content. So I primarily make content on TikTok. You can see my information over here. This is a piece of content that did really well. It has about 800,000 views. So obviously it resonated with people. It was pretty entertaining. And we're going to watch a couple different types of content. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you a little pop quiz question. So I want to make sure we pay attention to the content. And also, please let me know if you can hear the sound. All right, so you can see that was just a short, silly little video that is meant to entertain people. So the next type of content is educational content. I think this is also another very popular type of content, but maybe less popular than entertainment. So educational content is meant to provide value to audiences by teaching about something. So this is really good content for building authority in whatever your niche is. So providing some kind of educational value. This usually includes how-to guides, tutorials, explainer videos, and sort of expert advice. So an example of that within my own niche would be offering advice about resumes, advice about interviewing, how-tos on using LinkedIn, things like that. So we're going to watch a piece of educational advice, and this one I think everyone will like because it is teaching language. So I really like this creator. They teach Korean on TikTok. And again, I think this one was really popular. It's right here. It has like 11 million views. So obviously, this content really resonated with audiences.
Please give me something, something. 주세요. Please give me chicken. Chicken 주세요. Please give me pizza. Pizza 주세요. Please give me juice. Juice 주세요. 주세요. 주세요.
Again, it's really short, it's really snappy, really entertaining. And this is obviously a very popular creator with almost a million followers. All right, and then the final type of content that is usually successful with people is content that's meant to evoke or content that makes you feel a certain emotion, whether that emotion is good or bad. I know that we have all sat through a piece of content that we hate watched. We just watched it because it made us angry, and it's successful because it evokes a negative feeling in us. So this is really good content for building community. whether that is community that is sort of united or divided against something, whether it's good or bad. So this kind of content is usually inspiration videos, get ready with me, which are also called GRWMs, outfit of the day, or just really general lifestyle content. So content that you watch it and it makes you kind of feel a certain emotion. So this is a content creator who really, really specializes in this kind of content meant to evoke or inspire a specific feeling. Again, they're a really popular sort of cottagecore creator. So we'll watch one of her TikToks. Sorry, this one's a little quiet. So again, a pretty short video, but again, it resonated highly with audiences. I think this one had maybe 300,000 or 400,000 views. So obviously it's something people really enjoyed. So out of the three different pieces of content that we watched an entertainment piece, an educational piece, and an evoke piece. What do you think each of those videos, why do you think each one of those videos was successful? And what did it do well for its content type? So each video we watched was pretty successful, a couple hundred thousand views for each one. And why do you think people enjoyed those pieces of content in particular? I'll give everyone a couple minutes to type in a quick answer into the chat. Yeah, the educational video was also entertaining. That is a really big factor in education videos. So a lot of these different types of content can be combined into, you know, whatever works for you. Educational one was not just teaching, it had music. Unfortunately, if you watch the educator's content, the song gets really stuck in your head because he uses kind of the same cadence over and over again. So be warned, if you watch his content, you will be singing it all day. It makes you laugh. The last one was really aesthetically pleasing. The videos are really easy to digest. Yeah, so all of them are really short and quick. The last one made me want to drop everything, move to the mountain, grow my own veggies. Actually, that's really funny because the last creator is local to me. She lives about 30 minutes from where I do. So her area looks like where I live. Funny, straight to the point. Yeah, so you can see that each of these different types of content resonated with audiences. Because they're easy to digest, they have a specific purpose, whether they're meant to entertain, evoke, or educate, and they're easily shareable. That's also something super important. So some things that all content has in common, or at least all good content, because I know we've all seen plenty of bad content out there. Not all content is good. So good content must be shareable or savable. So when you create content, you want content that people are going to be sharing with others, or they're going to be saving it for a specific purpose. It must provide value to the audience, so they have to be getting something out of your content. And this is where I think a lot of especially like lifestyle content fails, is because it really focuses on the person instead of what value they're providing to their audience. It must be authentic or relatable and must be good quality. So if you're going to be making content for TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, you must have good quality, whether it's good quality speaking, scripting, visual aesthetics, something about it has to be high quality. And again, if I'm talking really fast or if you guys have questions, please feel free to drop them in the chat. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can create a sustainable content strategy. And I say sustainable because when you start creating content, if you decide that you want to use content to help boost your career search, or you want it as an alternative sort of income stream, or you're going to be creating a business, creating content at first is really fun and really exciting. And there's like so much to experiment with. There's so much you can do. But if you don't have a strategy, it becomes really overwhelming really quickly. And it's really easy to start feeling like an imposter or a failure. And it can lead to pretty quick burnout. So if you want to create content over the long term, it's really important to have a sustainable strategy to do that. All right. And this is where we are going to meet Liz, who we will be helping in our interactive activity towards the end of the workshop. So we want to make sure we know a little bit about Liz. So Liz is a recent linguistics graduate. She just graduated with her master's degree. But she knows that academia isn't for her. She doesn't want to go into like higher education. Gee, that sounds super familiar. But neither is corporate. She doesn't really want a corporate job. She wants to start her own business. So Liz is starting her own English teaching or English tutoring business. And we are going to be helping Liz create her content plan. So that is our like interactive activity. We'll do a little bit towards the end of the workshop. So keep this in mind. Liz is a recent grad. She's starting her own English tutoring business and she needs a content plan. So we've got the steps here to kind of creating a sustainable strategy. And the first one is choosing one platform to start with. You don't want to overwhelm yourself by trying to learn every single platform out there. Pick one that is going to be easy for you to begin with. So you have to identify your ideal platform first by figuring out where is your audience spending their time? Are they on LinkedIn? Are they on Instagram? Are they on YouTube? Are they in Twitch? So where is your audience going to be spending time consuming content? So for me, I started on LinkedIn and then I realized all the teachers I worked with on LinkedIn were already pretty far into their career transition and they didn't really need my services. So I moved over to TikTok because that is where most of the teachers are that I work with who are at the very beginning of their career transition journey and they do need career coaching, resume advice, things like that. So I refocused onto a different platform based on where my target audience is. And the best thing you can do is start small by building presence on one platform and then kind of scaling up from there. So pick a platform to start with, get really good at it, and then move on to the next platform. And then this is probably the most important thing you can do is figuring out your niche. So who is your exact audience? And when people start creating content, I find that they think that their content is going to be applicable to everyone. They're like, oh, everyone is going to love my content. Like my audience is everyone. But you can't make content for every single person out there because then it becomes really inauthentic and not relatable. So you have to narrow down your niche to help you target a specific audience who is looking for the type of content you want to create. So part of that is figuring out what unique value do you offer your audience. And the best way to figure this out is to look at other people who are in your niche and figure out what kind of content gaps they are leaving. So then you can kind of fill that gap in content creation. And this is kind of how I view different levels of niche. So you don't have to pick one specific niche, but you do have to kind of create a focus area. And I honestly don't know if there are specific names for this. These are names that I have come up with based on how I view different niches in content creation. First is your sort of like wide niche, if you're viewing niches as like a funnel kind of. So wide is a very general audience where you have the potential to gain a lot of views on your content, but not a lot of engagement. So for example, if someone asks you to describe your content in one word, that's your wide niche. So like mom content, fitness, corporate life, like that's all too wide. You will get views, but you won't get engagement. And if you're trying to make sales, you won't get sales with your wide niche. And then you have your community level niche. This is your ideal audience. This is where, if these are like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, wide is too big, narrow is too small, and community is like just right. It's that sweet spot of content creation. So they are interested in your content and they are engaging with your content. So they're saving it, they're sharing it, they're commenting on it. And this is where you want to like niche down. So instead of just mom content, you have moms who are looking for a side hustle. Instead of just fitness content, you have cozy fitness or sort of slow fitness. Instead of just corporate life, maybe this is like corporate fashion. So this is where, if you are starting a business, your community level niche is where people are going to buy your products or services. And then we have a narrow niche, which is something that you might be interested in talking about, but isn't really big enough for like potential content. It doesn't really, there's not really a big audience for it and isn't going to be as successful. So for me, in my own personal content creation, my wide niche is teachers. My community niche is teachers who are looking for a new career outside of academia. And then my narrow niche is instructional design, which is something I am personally interested in talking about and my audience does not care about at all. None of my instructional design content does that well. All right, so we're gonna look at another example of a niche, so some niches. So we're gonna watch this TikTok video and kind of talk about these questions. So this is a content creator, I think her name is Emmeline. And as we watch her video, I want you to try and figure out what is her wide niche? So where is she going to get the most views? What is her community niche? So who is engaged the most with her content? And then what about her style do you think is appealing to viewers?
Not a hot girl if you don't have a library card. Today I'm at the library returning four books. I have two nonfictions and two contemporary fictions to tell you all about, and I'm gonna rank these books on whether I loved it, if I liked it, or if it just wasn't for me. If you want to see more library content on Book Talk, I do these library return videos every week, so feel free to follow along for more.
All right, that was just the introduction. This video was actually like 3 minutes long. So I'll give everyone a minute in the chat. What is Emmeline's wide niche? What is her community niche? And then what do you think is appealing about her style? Yeah, so Emmeline's wide niche is readers, or if you are on TikTok at all, this is called Book Talk. So there are a lot of content creators who talk about reading or books. And so if that is a content area you're interested in, it's really important to niche down to a specific community. So you can differentiate yourself from other people in the same content creation niche. So her wide niche is books. Her community niche is library. So not a lot of content creators who talk about books talk about using the library. So this is where she's differentiated herself from other content creators. I think it was Kate who said that it's appealing because it's in contrast to the high consumerism in book spaces, which is 100% true. A lot of book content is really focused on purchasing books. So Emmeline's content is really appealing because she's talking about reading books in a more like accessible way that's easier for most people. And then also in general, I just love the way she is sitting in her car and kind of talking directly to the camera like it's a friend. It feels really intimate and inviting. And all of her content looks the same way. So she has a very strong sort of visual identity. So we're going to think about Liz for a second. And Liz needs a niche. She does not have a niche at the moment. So she knows that she wants to teach English. She wants her own business where she's teaching English or tutoring in English, but she has to figure out who her audience is. So I'm going to let you guys take a minute to sort of brainstorm a niche for Liz. What do you think is a good wide niche for Liz? Where is she going to get a lot of her viewers? And then what is a good community niche for Liz? So where is she going to actually be able to sell her services as an English teacher or as an English tutor? And then what's a narrow niche or a niche that might be too small for Liz to be successful? So I'm gonna actually turn off my camera for just a second and I'm gonna let you guys brainstorm this for like about 2 minutes. See a couple answers. So a wide niche for Liz would be language learners. I agree. I think that is where she's going to get a lot of views, but maybe not necessarily people who want to engage with her content or purchase her services. And community niche, people interested in learning English as an L2 learner. or people planning to learn English in order to move to wherever Liz is located. So we just want to make sure that Liz is going to kind of narrow down her niche. For example, the language educator that we watched, his niche specifically is Korean, and Korean for people who are on TikTok, which is a very, very serviceable niche. So ESL learners or instructors, people looking to learn English for business. All right, so these are all pretty good examples of different niches that Liz could focus on. The one that I was thinking of is learning English for business. So maybe she wants to focus for people who are learning English because they want to start a business or because they're looking for jobs in the United States. They're interested in corporate positions. So whatever we want Liz's niche to be, we just have to make sure she has a specific focus. All right, so we're talk a little bit about basic content structure. So no matter what type of content you're creating, whether it's entertaining, it is evocative, it's educational, content usually follows the same sort of structure. And once you have figured out a structure that works for you, you can kind of maintain a consistent style that becomes a part of your brand. And a basic content structure is a lot like writing a paper. For any of my fellow like ESL instructors, whenever you've had to teach learners how to write like an essay, this is almost the same thing. So you usually start with a hook for your content, and this can be a written hook, it can be spoken, it can be visual. And a lot of people will combine different kinds of hooks through spoken, written, and visual. So they'll just throw everything at the screen and see what works. And then you have your content, which is the main event that is kind of the focus of your video. And then finally, you usually have a call to action. So what action do you want people to take after they finish consuming your content? If you watch YouTube videos, at the end of YouTube videos, I think most YouTubers just say like and subscribe. That is their call to action. That's what they want you to do after you finish watching their video. So your call to action can be driving people to like the video, to follow you, to comment something specific. It can also be checking out your website, signing up for a newsletter. If you're selling a service, your call to action can be inviting people to purchase your service or your product, just whatever it is that you want people to do with your content. And then it's not necessarily part of the structure, but one important thing is creating a consistent visual or written style that helps you build your brand, your individual brand. Kind of like what I was talking about with Emmeline's video, she always has the same sort of setup. She's in her car, she has her library books, and she's speaking directly into the microphone. That is a very consistent sort of visual brand that she has. So we're gonna watch another TikTok video. And this one is a career content creator. This is my friend Leora. They're a content creator, kind of like what I do, focusing on resume, interview, career things. And we're gonna try and figure out in Leora's video, what is their hook? So how are they getting you to stay for the entire video? What makes the content appealing? And then what is Leora's call to action? And they might have more than one call to action. They might have more than one hook. But we're going to kind of look at their video structure together. And then also, this is a very useful video if you are a career changer, if you're looking for a job at the moment. So it's a little on the long side, but I think it is useful for everyone.
September surge is coming so quickly, and if you don't know what that is, you can watch my other videos. But basically, it is the busiest time of year for hiring right now between Labor Day and Halloween. I'm Leora. I'm a queer and neurodivergent career coach. I've spent years in HR and recruiting, and I'm here to share all my secrets. So, in the last video, we talked about bringing some intention to your search. Go back and watch it if you haven't already. And next, we're going to talk about finding the right opportunities. There's a lot of job boards out there. If you don't know what a job board is, it's things like Indeed or a LinkedIn job. Jobs and those, they have a lot of scams, a lot of junk, a lot of clutter. So I highly recommend not using them.
Or at least don't make it like the only thing you check. I have an entire database of well over 50 job boards, all with a different focus, many of which primarily focus on remote jobs. There are job boards like Tech Ladies, which are jobs for women in tech. There are job boards called Hey Remote or No Desk or Just Remote that are all remote positions. There's websites that focus on disability and neurodivergent, like Ability Links or My Disability Jobs. The Out in Tech job board is also one of my favorites, as well as Fairy God Boss or Power to Fly. There's Black Career Network, Black Tech Jobs, Black Girls in Media, Jobwell, or Native Hire. And I just recently added Swipe Files, which is entirely focused on marketing. So by using more specialized job boards that aren't just LinkedIn jobs or Indeed, you can kind of clear out a lot of the crap that's out there and find exactly the type of jobs that you're looking for. So I recommend checking out the database. It's at the link in my bio. You get free access and you can bookmark like 10 of them is my recommendation and check them every other day. If you want more tips like this, I have a whole webinar. It's called Back to Basics Job Seeker Masterclass. It's on September 7th. You can get access and get a ticket at the link in my bio, and we're going to be going over everything that you can do to prepare for September surge, from being intentional with your job search, to getting your materials perfectly curated, to building your confidence and talking about your skills in interviews and beyond. So I look forward to seeing you there. And happy September surge!
All right. I know that one was on the long side, but I wanted to share it because it was really popular. I think that TikTok got like 3 million views or something. So as you were watching it, what is Leora's hook? What do they do to kind of like make you interested in watching the whole video, which is 2 minutes long? What do you think makes the content appealing? And then what was Leora's call to action? What do they want you to do after watching the content? So I'll give everyone a couple seconds, a minute, to just kind of type that out in the chat. You can already see that Leora actually employed a bunch of different hooks as a way of getting you to watch the content. So one of the hooks I see, queer and neurodivergent, that's definitely a hook to kind of show how they are differentiated from other career coaches. The September surge is a hook because it's really like strong language, like hiring is going to be happening between September and October. So really kind of like making you feel really urgently that you have to consume that content. Appealing, it's very intimate, it's insider knowledge. Definitely Leora has worked in HR and recruiting for a long time, so it feels like you're kind of getting like the inside secrets. It's specialized job boards, the appeals to common annoyance, definitely. And then the call to action at the end is checking the database of information. So Leora has a job board database that you can download, and also signing up for their webinar. So this is a really common structure of content for people who use content creation to kind of drive leads towards their business. I know that Leora Laura's webinar was a paid webinar, so they use content to make people like kind of sign up for the webinar that they offered. So part of our sustainable content strategy is experimenting with content types, so trying out different kinds of content to see what your audience likes, and then also to keep your content fresh and engaging, because you don't want to do the same thing over and over and over again. It gets boring for you and your audience. And the really important note is not to copy competitors or other people in your niche, but analyze kind of what is working for them and figuring out how you can do that in your own way. Because you don't want to copy anyone. You want to be able to put your own like signature onto your content. And then developing a content calendar is also super important. You want to make sure that you are creating a regular schedule that you can follow for posting content. Because like we said earlier, if you are trying to post like 3 times a day, you're going to burn out so quickly. And then content creation is not going to be fun or interesting or exciting for you anymore. You also want to make sure you're balancing different types of content to appeal to different audiences. So you want to post a combination of education content, entertainment content, and evocative content at varying lengths. So I think TikTok lets you do up to 10 minutes. You can do as short as like 15 seconds. So you want to try experimenting with different lengths of content. And then there is a very, very strong content posting myth that you have to post 3 times a day in order to grow your audience. And that is untrue. So whatever schedule works for you is the best schedule. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about platform-specific strategies. So the 3 platforms that I know the most about, but again, these are not all of the different content creation platforms out there. You can kind of pick and choose which ones are going to work for you and your purposes based on where your audience is. So first off is LinkedIn, and I think this one is probably most relevant for us, especially if you are kind of making that career transition out of academia and into private industry. You're really going to want to utilize LinkedIn for content creation. And LinkedIn is obviously professional content, and it's really good for building authority and showing people that you know what you're talking about, you're an expert in your area. But just because LinkedIn is professional content doesn't mean that it has to be boring. I've seen a really big increase lately in really fun content on LinkedIn, memes, entertaining, evocative content. So you can still experiment with different types of content on LinkedIn, even though it is like a professional platform. LinkedIn is really good for building a community because there's a lot more back and forth between creator and consumer on LinkedIn. And also, interacting with your network on LinkedIn creates better visibility because you start showing up in other people's LinkedIn feeds. So it's really easy, I think, to kind of grow as a creator and show up in other people's LinkedIn feeds. And an ideal posting schedule for LinkedIn is about 2 or 3 times a week. You don't really have to post any more than that. So LinkedIn, there are a couple different kinds of content that you can post on LinkedIn. Written content is obviously the most popular on LinkedIn. Short form is the most popular. You can create longer form written content on LinkedIn, but I think people tend to gloss over it. So it has to be really, really interesting in order to captivate your audience enough to read really long content on LinkedIn. Single image content and also image carousels are other popular forms of content on LinkedIn. You want to make sure you optimize your profile for searchability. Having certain keywords means you show up in LinkedIn searches more often. And LinkedIn is really good for educational content, case studies, success stories, and then kind of just like general like career or professional observations. But it doesn't have to be boring. This is an example of something I posted on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, which is just kind of poking fun at the idea that instructional design is very tech forward and exciting. And you can see obviously that this content really resonated with people. It did really well. You have my analytics down there. It had 17,000 impressions. So LinkedIn doesn't have to be very stuffy or boring. You can post like fun stuff too. These are a couple people that I think are doing really well on LinkedIn, and these are all people who are using LinkedIn as a method of driving customers or clients towards their business. So if you, again, are thinking about using content creation for a business, then these are 3 people I would highly recommend following. I'm going to skip over this a little bit because I think I am running out of time a bit. Instagram is another really popular platform for creating content. We're probably all pretty familiar with Instagram, but it's visual storytelling. So Instagram is a really like aesthetically driven platform. So the types of content you can create on Instagram are single images, carousels, Instagram Reels, which is short form video content, 90 seconds. You can also do Instagram Live, which is where you appear live to your audience. And Instagram stories, which are those like images you post that disappear after 24 hours. Instagram is a little hard to grow an audience because it requires good engagement for growth. And that means you need to have your audience engaging with your content, commenting, liking, and sharing. So it's a little harder to drive results on Instagram. Oops, I forgot to post a picture here. My mistake. But for Instagram, good strategies include utilizing the link in bio feature to direct your followers to your website, to your products, to your services. You want to use Instagram's in-app tools for editing your videos and images because that makes the app happy. Video content is limited to 90 seconds, and the easiest way to grow your audience on Instagram is by using Reels and Stories. So basically, video content. And then these are a couple of people, again, who I think are doing really well on Instagram. They're really good examples of a consistent visual brand that is visually appealing, and they are also using Instagram to drive their audience to purchasing their services or their products. And then finally, we have TikTok. TikTok is my primary content platform, and I think it's the easiest platform to grow on. You have a really good chance of showing up on people's For You page, which is kind of the area that you scroll through on TikTok. TikTok also is really difficult to capture attention of your audience. So they'll see it, but they may not stay for the entire video. I think it's usually like half a second or something, half a second, and you have to hook your audience into your content. TikTok is a good place to participate in audio and video trends. So once you start kind of diving deep into TikTok, you'll understand the different sort of trends that are going on and how you can apply those to your content. The ideal posting schedule for TikTok is once a day. You can post images, image carousels, stories. You can go live on TikTok. And then TikTok has 15-second, 60-second, and 10-minute videos. Although I don't actually know anyone making 10-minute videos on TikTok. And again, if you are posting video content to TikTok, you want to make sure that you are using the in-app editing features because TikTok likes when you use their tools in the app instead of a third-party app. And then TikTok also motivates people to grow. They kind of gamify the growth process by giving you different rewards at different levels of followers. So once you reach 100 followers, you get access to TikTok analytics where you can see all of your data. Once you get 1,000 followers on TikTok, you can have a link in your bio, so driving people to your website or services. Once you get 10,000 followers, you have access to the Creator Fund, which is where they pay you per 1,000 views. And then once you get 100,000 followers, you have additional monetization options. And this is an image over here of the TikTok Creator Studio. This is my data for the past 7 days, I think. And you can see that I have made a whopping 86 cents over the last week. So it's not necessarily big money, but you do get paid per 1,000 views. And then these are some people, again, who I think are doing really well on TikTok. They have strong visual branding. They have a good niche and are using TikTok as their primary marketing tool for their business. And then there are other platforms. You can kind of explore which ones are going to be the best for you and your business or whatever your purposes are for content creation. There's Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, Substack, YouTube. You can start your own blog. There's Twitch, Medium, Threads, and podcasts. And I'm sure that there are more that I don't even know about. All right. So we're going to jump into our activity. We have a little less time than I was hoping for, but that is my fault for talking a lot. So we're going to be focusing on Liz. Liz is our English teacher. She's starting her new business and she needs a content creation plan. I was going to split you into three groups. I didn't realize that there would be 30 participants. So instead, I'm just going to split you into groups of like three or four and let you guys kind of talk about Liz's business a little bit. So I'm going to give you guys about 10 minutes in breakout rooms. You'll be in a breakout room with like three or four other people. And you are just going to try and help Liz come up with some content ideas for different platforms. And you guys can choose which platform you think is going to be most interesting for Liz, whether you think that's LinkedIn or TikTok or Instagram, or if you have a different platform you think is going to be useful for Liz in kind of marketing her English teaching business. And here are a couple different kind of things you can talk about or think about. So, what is the pain point of her audience? What are some different types of content she can create? Images, videos, long form video, short form. And then see if you can come up with like two or three specific content ideas for Liz. So, what are some topics that she could post about? What are some ideas that you think would resonate with her audience? For example, a post about common English language mistakes in professional settings, and maybe what the purpose of each different content idea is. So, we won't necessarily have all the time to answer all these, but basically, think of a platform for Liz and her English teaching business and see if you can come up with a couple of different content ideas for her. So I'll give everyone like 10 minutes. I'm going to stop sharing. Well, welcome back, everyone. So hopefully you had a couple seconds to kind of talk through with your partner or a couple people you were with about some different sort of like content creation ideas for Liz in her English teaching or tutoring business. We don't have a ton of time to like share any of the ideas you came up with, but I would still love to hear them. So if you want to just pop any like content ideas that you guys talked about into the chat, I would love to hear about them. And I'm sure everyone else who talked through would love to see like different ideas that different people had. So if you just want to take a second to kind of pop that information into the chat, and I'm going to talk very briefly about monetizing content. I won't get to talk about all of it, but I will be sending you guys this information afterwards. So if you do want to do content creation with a focus on using it as an income stream for your business or just as like a side hustle, you can definitely do that. There are different ways of monetizing content. So the first part is obviously building a really strong presence and creating a personal brand, and then identifying different methods of monetizing content. And there are so many different ways to monetize content that I really don't have enough time to get into all of them, but that's something you can do some research on, or if you want to talk to me about it, I can help you with it. And then, probably the most important piece of information I can give you when monetizing content is keeping your most valuable content behind a paywall. So, whatever it is that your audience comes to you and they keep asking for over and over and over again, if your goal is to make money through content creation, you have to put that information behind a paywall. So, whether they're looking for personalized feedback on something and you make them sign up for a like coaching session, or you create a course for them, or you create a product, whatever it is that is most in demand from your content, make them pay for it. And there are a lot of layers to that. That's kind of just like the basics. So if you want to talk about more about paywalls and valuable content, again, feel free to contact me. This is all information. I will send you guys the PowerPoint. And I just wanted to say thank you. Finally, we've got like 1 minute left. So thanks for paying attention and listening and participating in all the discussion questions. I hope you guys have learned about how valuable content creation is and how you can use it to your benefit. If you do have questions, please feel free to get in touch with me. You can message me through LinkedIn, you can send a connection request. You can follow my TikTok. I don't answer messages on TikTok though, just because I get so many, it's hard for me to answer them. But you can see the different kinds of content I create there, or you can send me an email directly if you have questions. And I will also probably see you guys on Thursday morning for the curriculum panel, which I am moderating. So I will see you guys a couple times over the next few weeks. But thanks so much.
Linguistics Career Launch is an ongoing nonprofit project currently led by volunteers that works to educate students, faculty, administrators, and industry employers about the value of linguists in business, government, nonprofit, and tech. The LCL has held two online boot camps during which attendees were able to learn from and interact with career linguists, as well as gain practical experience in career management skills. Videos of all our recorded sessions are available on our YouTube channel. You can get in touch at linguisticscareerlaunch@gmail.com.